I'm tempted to do an entire episode in an accent.
Could do it just for the Retro Showdown, like pick a European region game.
It's a Shrimp Barbie Simulator.
Or Australian, whatever.
How many shrimps can you Barbie in the time limit? My high score is 12.
Welcome to episode 45 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I don't drink much gasoline anymore. And I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am renaming myself to AAA so I can claim to be the greatest arcade gamer in the world.
My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I have no idea what I'm doing here.
We don't either!
We're just winging it! Who plays arcade games anymore, anyway?
I do.
I don't even know what an arcade is.
I got a sweet-ass arcade just, like, 20 minutes down the streets.
Really?
What?
That's crazy. It's called Arcade Legacy. And,
sounds really cool.
You remember at the Midwest Gaming Classic when Galloping Ghost was there with that game that they were working on?
Yes, I do.
Apparently, Arcade Legacy, the arcade near me, is one of the first arcades to receive.
Oh!
Once it's finished. And I even talked to the
owner.
I was at Midwest and I was talking to the Galloping Ghost guys, and he's like, oh, yeah, those guys are cool. It's like, yeah, they showed this game that they were showing off that they're making. And he's like, yeah, if it ever gets finished. I was like, you're supposed to get it, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, if it ever gets finished.
Ever, yeah.
I was like, let me know, man. I'll be here.
The thing is, Galloping Ghost is close enough to me. I want to make the trip sometime. I might do it for like a birthday party. I think that'd be fun. Just be like,
how far away is it?
That's like an hour at most.
Oh, that's not bad, dude. I drive 2.5 hours to work every day.
Yeah. Wow. Really?
Every day, man.
Is that one way?
Yes.
So 5 hours of your weekday is spent driving.
Yeah, I put about 1,000 miles in my car every week.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
You spend 25 hours a week driving to and from work.
Luckily, I've got great podcasts like the One More Podcast to listen to on my drive to work.
I have, in my current job search as an unemployed, I actually have considered, I'm like, you know, if I went for a little bit longer of a commute, I could actually start catching up on some other gaming podcasts. So that's true. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I've got it down. I think there's like 12 different podcasts I listen to that are weekly for the most part, and I can listen to all of them just in time for the new ones to come out. So it's like a never ending loop.
Wow.
Of podcasts. Yeah.
Nice.
I can't remember the last time I listened to the radio.
Radio.
Yeah.
I miss commuting based on that. I used to listen to a lot of podcasts.
My fingers are all sticky.
Now see, this is funny. I was never a big podcast guy. Like even starting this podcast, Andrew's like, One More Castle should have a retro gaming podcast. I'm like, cool, yeah, it should. Andrew's like, you want to do it? I'm like, never really, not much before. If okay, sure. And now it's the most fun thing I've ever done in my life, so that's good.
So you just do what we all do. We just listen to Andrew and whatever he says. We just
for any
do his bidding.
For any podcast listeners, Andrew is the man behind the curtain, the administrator.
We don't even know where the curtain is anymore.
No.
Yeah.
He keeps moving it.
It's like way over
rubber duckies. You're the one.
Make that time so much fun. Have you guys been playing any other old video games lately?
I've been playing a new old game.
What does that mean? Enlighten
me. I've been playing Mega Man Unlimited.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Heard good things.
Ditto.
So it's a fan-made. They made it in honor of the 25th anniversary of Mega Man. It actually started off as a Flash game, and then they ported it over to C++, kind of a template. And use, there's like a make your own Mega Man game engine out there that they based a lot of the code off of.
Yeah.
So it's a brand new story. It plays just like an old 8-bit Mega Man. They closely tie it to Mega Man 3. So you've got the slide but no charge shot. All new boss, robot masters. All new enemy. So it's not Dr. Wily. It's somebody else.
Wow.
And actually the story starts off as, okay, so obviously everything's at peace and the city's good to go. And then there's a giant explosion. Everybody points fingers at Wily. Wily says it wasn't me. I want to help Dr. Light fix it. So they start working together. And then, well, what's neat about it is playing it, because like I played the Marvel versus Street Fighter crossover thing,
mm-hmm.
and playing Mega Man Unlimited, I really wish this was the game that they released, because it's so good. Like, it's got that Mega Man feel to it. The music is excellent. There's been so many Mega Man games that kind of the robot masters start to get kind of silly, yeah. and...
Sure.
These aren't really silly. There's, you know, like Glue Man and Nail Man and Comet Girl or Comet Woman.
Oh, ew.
They took a lot of things from Mega Man X. So if you're going to play it, I'd recommend playing it with a Super NES controller.
Okay.
If you got the USB to Super NES.
Gotcha.
They do the what do you call it? The special weapon switch on the fly with the shoulder buttons, which is really neat. But yeah, it plays just like Mega Man 3 or 2 or any of the 8-bit Mega Mans. It's free to download. The soundtrack's free to get.
I was going
to
ask. That's an important thing to let people know, is it is free. So go enjoy.
Yeah, totally free. And it's, I mean, totally worth money. Like, I'd be more than happy to pay $10 for it. Like, it feels like a Mega Man game. Like, it even has the whole, you know, when it introduces a new concept to the gameplay, like, it kind of slow rolls you into it. It's just not... out of nowhere, and you don't know what the hell's going on, you know? So, like, nice. When you die, it's your own fault.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, I've already encountered this enemy 4 other times. Now I'm just on a platform with, you know, pitfalls, and so... Yeah,
because I hate that when you're in a game and you don't know what's going on. That's annoying, so that's good.
A lot of fun. Definitely check it out. Mega Man Unlimited.
Mega Man...
with the Super NES controller.
Unlimited. Jason, can you top that?
I played some more Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Sorry.
How far have you gotten?
I'm an adult. So, I'm picked up in a bit. I haven't had time because I've been playing a bunch of games I bought off Steam during the delicious Steam sale.
Can't blame you there.
It's been bad.
So, when does the summer sale end? Is it the 22nd?
Is that the Sunday? 21st, technically.
Okay, because I still got like $23 left to spend.
You got 3 days. On the last day, they actually repeat all the best sales.
Oh.
So all the ones, if you miss something, it'll be up again to buy.
Well, I've been very frivolous when it comes to buying these games, because obviously I want to try to buy as many indie games as I can for my website.
Yeah.
But there's been a couple of times where I'm like, I really want to get Grand Theft Auto 4. Or I really want to get Bioshock Infinite. And I'm like, no, I got to wait. Bit Trip Runner might go on sale. Or I just picked up, hold on. I don't mean to interrupt you, Jason. That's just my thing. The Binding of Isaac.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Mm.
It's got great reviews. I picked it up for $1.49.
Yeah, Steam's insane.
It's
cheaper than a chocolate bar.
Video games, yeah.
I am happy to say that Fez, I think, got something like 500,000 downloads since the sale started.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I mean, that's great. As like a gamer who's really into the indie scene, like that's so cool to see that. Like that a guy, like basically a one-man team, well, there was two of them.
Yeah.
Can bring out, you know, this game and make a triple A kind of a download money. Well, not money, but...
But in terms of the exposure, the gameplay quality, more power to them. You're right, absolutely.
Sorry, Jason, you were saying?
I just want to recommend you something now. If you got $23 to spend.
I do. I'm frivolous.
I still think if you haven't played, you probably have most of the Sonics.
Yeah.
They do have the newer Sonics in there. You can get all of them plus the old ones for $15.
That's not bad.
Torchlight series, good. That's an indie game.
I got Torchlight.
You got Torchlight? All right, never
mind. Yeah, I love Torchlight.
All right, Magicka?
I do not have Magicka.
It's supposed to be good. I own it. Haven't played it.
Well, then, why don't you recommend a game to me that you've played?
That I have played.
Oh, okay. A game that you have played.
I have too many games. That's the problem.
Bailey, you want to go while Jason's thinking about it?
Yeah, sure. I'll find something.
I've taken a break from SimCity 4 and Final Fantasy 7 and actually gotten back to playing NES games, so I've managed to put up 3 new reviews on NintendoLegend.com. They are Lode Runner, Solstice, and Wrecking Crew. Of those three, I would say Solstice is the best game. I do have a fetish for isometric 8-bit titles, though. Very challenging. There's no save, no password. You're just thrown into a dungeon with 250 rooms. No weapons. You just got to walk around, jump, solve the puzzles. But it looks great. Great music. Great brainy little platforming challenge. But I want to give a shout out to Wrecking Crew. Of all the launch titles, I kind of feel like, I mean, it stars Mario and Luigi, but it's kind of been like a black sheep of the launch title family. It's a much better game than something like 10 Yard Fight or Clue Clue Land, but Mario's never really gone back to it, and it has unique enemy characters. Even Super Mario Bros. 2, which is a Doki Doki Panic reskin, they reuse some of those characters in later games. You see Shy Guys in later Mario games, but Spike the Foreman, don't really see much of him. The Eggplant Men, I think they're a trophy in the Super Smash Bros. Games, but other than that, I'd like to see the Wrecking Crew name get more love. But what can I do?
I don't know. What can you do?
Talk about it on the podcast. It's a good game. It's fun.
Oh, that reminded me. Speaking of franchises getting more loved, Capcom announced something today.
Strider! Good old Strider.
Glad we all knew about that one.
Yeah.
It's still not going to be as good as the original. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah. Like, that game is so classic.
There's concerns, too, because the developer that is going to be taking hold of the project has some less than stellar titles under their belt. So,
awesome.
We'll see what happens. Who knows?
I mean, what would you do with a game like that? I mean, would you just make a reboot, or would you try to make a brand new game out of it? Or because I mean,
that's
it's just
a good question.
It's technically just like a running gun, but without the gun.
Yeah.
And running guns nowadays are dead. Like, nobody makes running gun games anymore.
Not really. Yeah, not really. No. That's a good question, though. I mean, if you're a development house and a major label comes up to you and says, hey, we have an opportunity. We want you to make the next Pokemon Snap. How much do you stick to the original formula versus how much do you try to innovate?
I don't know. What other games has this company made?
I don't remember. I read an article and they named crap. Two of them. Yeah, I don't know.
See, the thing, if it were me, I mean, if it was a game that was uber popular when it first came out, I'm going to do as much as I can to kind of retain that, because if it worked in the past, why wouldn't it work now?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and then maybe tweak point. Things here and there that I might have been wrong in the game previous, and then take ideas from games that are popular now, take some of those mechanics and kind of weave them in. But I mean, if the game was not like, was Pokemon Snap really that popular when it came out?
Hard to say. By whose standards? I mean, it probably sold 500,000 to a million copies.
Is that a lot?
Exactly. Is it? Who knows? You know, it's like when a AAA title only sells 4 million copies and the publisher is like, oh, it's a failure. It's like the Tomb Raider reboot. Most people thought it did really well. And the publisher is actually kind of like, we were disappointed. We thought it would get twice as much. It's like, wow. Like, who's buying that much physical media nowadays?
Me.
Eric Hunter is. Millions and millions of games.
Well, according to the Book of Knowledge, Pokemon Snap got pretty good reviews. 8 out of 10s, 85%, 77%. So, I mean, it was doing something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The company that's, according to the Book of Knowledge again, that's making the Strider reboot has worked on such classics as the G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra movie adaptation. Mm-hmm. Green Lantern Rise of the Manhunters. The Battleship adaptation.
Get hurt.
Something called Front Mission Evolve. It's a mech game. It's kind of average around 5.5 out of 10.
Good luck, Strider fans. Hang
in great hands. They're also making the new Killer Instinct. So, they're just deciding to butcher two things.
Wow. Welcome to the butcher shop.
Yep.
Now, did I read correctly that in the new Killer Instinct, you're only going to have like 3 or 4 playable characters and you got to download the rest or something like that?
No, they did a horrible job marketing it.
Well, it's Microsoft.
Yeah,
so.
Obviously. The demo only has one character available. So whoever the main... It's got one character. You can purchase the remaining game, so all the characters... as somewhat DLC, that'll unlock the full game, or I can just go purchase the full game outright. But a lot of people took it like, I have to buy every single character.
Okay.
So technically you do, but it's not piecemeal. It's not like one at a time.
Yeah.
Right. It's just buy the game.
Buy the game. Yeah.
Okay. Because that's silly.
Yeah.
Cinder! Spinal! I miss Killer Instinct. That's good stuff.
Well, it didn't go anywhere. You can still play it.
Ah, touche. I agree, though. I would go with the original formula that worked with one or two tweaks to modernize it and add a new gameplay mechanic.
Yeah.
That way you're satisfying old fans while attracting a new audience and perhaps making waves in the community. I think if you stick too close to the old formula, the fans actually get kind of upset that you didn't do more with it.
Right, because you had the opportunity to.
Yeah. Hey, let's do a listener email discussion question.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. Goes like this. Gentlemen, first, allow me to thank you for your support of my music. I'm glad that both Erics have enjoyed my CD and that you guys played my stuff twice on your show. I'm sure Hunter was pleased that I chose his favorite track.
Very.
Next. Yeah, this is Neo Jake. He gave some crap to last week, but...
He never heard it.
Next.
It's no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, no biggie. Next, I have a theme idea for you for a retro showdown. How about this? Fighting games, which are not Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Tekken, Marvel, DC, or any of the mainstream ones. Trust me, there's a bunch out there. Look at the N64, for example. But finally, I have a question for you. This could get really broad, but what are your thoughts regarding younger people getting into the retro gaming craze? Do you feel it's good to show them where the stuff they love came from? Do you feel crushed when they complain about how crummy the graphics are? What other things come to mind? Just throwing that out there. Thanks again, Jake, a.k.a. Neo Jake, on Twitter at NeoJakeMCC. Young people, like in old video games. What do you guys think?
Young people.
Young people. What?
I mean, anybody playing... retro games is great, regardless of age. And we kind of spoke about this a little bit on a few episodes ago, about kind of like the hand-holding that's in a lot of modern gaming nowadays, and there isn't really any of that really in retro gaming. So, like, I don't know who it is, but on Twitter, like, they'll post pictures from, like, the Wii U of playing games off the virtual console. It was like Mega Man X, and like Zero comes out, and it's a picture of him and Zero in the first stage, and you know, somebody typed in, who is this girl? And you know, like, or they fall down the pit, and they don't know how to tap their way back up against the wall, and it's like, how do I get out of here? Like stuff like that. Like, because I think it's, like what we had mentioned previously, we don't have, or we've lost the ability for patience. You know, like, we want it done right now. And games like this, you need patience, mainly due to hardware limitations, or that was just what the idea was at the time. And it's going to get a lot more slack, and we have to defend it a lot more, I think, than you say, like, a modern game.
I agree, because you have to explain to them the appeal of beating a game that you have to try over and over again. You have to put hours into it. I mean, there's 100 games for the NES. You could say that about the original Legend of Zelda. I think I'm a teenager who's only familiar with modern era games, if they went back to that and tried it, they might think it was fun for a little bit, but eventually I think they'd give up. They wouldn't bother to keep going back and advancing and finding the things. We have to burn hundreds of bushes just to find the right doorway and things like that. It's a different way of playing. I am glad to see any young people who like retro games. I mean, if it's only old people that like older video games, then they're all going to die out eventually, and there isn't going to be a retro gaming community. So let's get some young blood in here. I'm all about that. I'm thrilled. I just saw, there's a couple weekends ago, I was talking to a teenager who thought the Super Nintendo was the coolest thing. And they like playing like Donkey Kong Country and some different games on there. And I was like, yeah, it is. You're right.
It is the coolest thing.
You are correct. Let's talk about that. I know something about that. I cannot imagine a classic gamer thinking it was a bad thing for a younger person to play old video games. I think at the Midwest Gaming Classic, to bring that up again, one of the coolest things was watching that little boy come up and play Super Mario Brothers for the first time.
Yeah, and he knew how to play it because all the other Super Mario Brothers played the same.
Well, that too.
Yeah, because he was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, you want to play Battle Kid? And he's like, no, I don't want to play Battle Kid. And we're like, we don't want to play Battle Kid either. It's hard.
And he, the kid who said, that looks hard. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the key difference, is old games were hard, but that's a good thing.
I think we took things for granted, too. Especially back in the, like, okay, I'm sure Jason can probably talk more to this. The PC realm of gaming has changed more than probably any other console or company or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so, in the long term, it's so less expensive to make a PC game than it is to go through Nintendo or Sony or Microsoft or Sega or, you know, Atari or whoever. So they were able to experiment a little bit more with gaming. But nowadays, it seems like PC gaming's kind of taking the same trends as a console player.
PC gaming has kind of had this historical up and down constantly. Since I was a kid, I remember the claim, oh, PC gaming's dead. And every time PC gaming was dead, it always hit this big, oh, okay, a Doom would come out, and all of a sudden, okay, everyone has to play a PC game.
Yeah.
I think it, from when I was a kid, there's a bunch of these great kind of independent programmers publishing, like the company Apogee, so the Duke Nukems, games like Biomenace, Wacky Wheels. They're just these small teams of one or two guys. And a lot of my memories with, you know, gaming back then are surrounded around that. And it's kind of changed where it's gone to these bigger companies pushing these AAA titles out, kind of like consoles have always done.
Right.
So here now, people are always looking forward to, oh, the newest Bethesda game. Oh, great. Can't wait for the new Skyrim.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know, the next Valve game. Can't wait for the next. Everyone's still after Half-Life 3. It's been 9 years.
Well, see, that's a thing, too, because it seems like, especially with PC gaming, they take a lot more time with the products that they make. Like, for some reason, they're just not on a time frame or a time crunch like a lot of these AAA console developers.
Yeah, the AAA console developers, I think it's because console developers literally see consoles as, okay, I have to produce X amount of games for this generation. Okay, so I got to hammer out all these sequels for the PS2.
Right.
So I'm going to hammer all these out. If I don't make my money here, I'm not going to grab people for the next generation, where PC developers kind of chase it almost in a, okay, this is a format that, you know, it's a long-term build. The games I made back in 1995, people can still play them now, which is great, and people will still remember them. So, but I do see a return to this kind of independent developers, and especially with Steam allowing it and the Humble Bundles. You see a lot of indies coming in, and a lot of exciting things are happening there. But so it does remind me a bit now of my early childhood. And I think that's making older games even more accessible, because now you have all these independent developers who grow up with these old games making retro, quote-unquote, style games. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now people will look back and go, oh, okay, maybe I'll play this game from 1992.
That's true, too. I mean, the advent of the internet has allowed even the phenomenon of a retro gaming community to exist.
Yeah.
I still believe there's millions of people out there who have an NES in their closet or their basement who may even pull it out. You hear about college dorms that still play Nintendo 64. Now those people actually have resources they can share and are doing it on their PCs.
Mm-hmm. You make a good point, though, Jason. I mean, because the PC is, there's so much more you can do. There isn't really that time crunch to really push these games out.
Yeah.
Maybe Microsoft's got it right then with the Xbox One by really focusing in on the TV aspect and the family and Skype and internet and that kind of thing. Maybe it's going to allow them to have more time to develop better games without the need of, we need the next game, we need the next game.
I think they're wanting to approach it in that sort of way, but they're still going to push out the Xbox One 2 or whatever the hell they're going to name it, the sequel to Xbox One.
Oh. You think so?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Totally. They still make money on hardware, and they'll force people to transition from that. The most interesting part about this next generation, everything's based on an x86 architecture, which is what PCs use.
Right.
So theoretically, if you go to the PS5 and the Xbox 2
and a half,
you're going to have that backwards compatibility. Whether Sony and Microsoft allow it, I don't know.
But it's there.
It's there, but at the same time, they're creating systems where they want to keep it closed. They don't want you to go installing third-party software. Unlike a PC where you can be like, I'm just going to download this game some guy made in his basement. Sweet.
A boy in his blob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Download that one. And it's interesting because Sony and Microsoft, they make a public show like they're trying to open the gatekeeping of independent games and have these systems where you can purchase these games. But there's still such competition and such an entry barrier to getting onto that marketplace. Whereas PC, it's like, well, I have a great idea. I have a little experience. I'm going to launch a Kickstarter. 6 months later, I'll put it on Steam Greenlight and try and get the votes up.
Yeah. And if your game's good enough, it's going to get on.
Yeah, exactly. But who knows? Maybe the Ouya will change
everything. There we go.
Hey, if you can play Cubasic games on the Ouya, I think it's golden.
If we can get a good Cubasic game out there, that will surely attract the younger crowd.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not. That was wrong. What I just said, that was incorrect. Music break. Back. That was Got a Star Piece by Playing with Power Nicely arranged remix off the Heavy Troopa is ready to launch, disc one, of some Super Mario RPG music. Good stuff, check it out. But now it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
This is the part of the show where basically each of us has secretly picked a retro game. We each get 1 minute to introduce what it is. It's the first time any of us hears about it. Then we spend the rest of the show arguing about who picked the best game. The most fun part, though, is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite in a poll on the podcast episode page. So hopefully our arguments might sway you. Two episodes ago, for episode 43, the theme was hat-wearing protagonists. I was not there because that was the 4th of July recording episode.
Oh yeah, neither was I.
Yeah. And guess who won?
Oh, wait, it wasn't hat-wearing protagonists then.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right. I just didn't update the note. I got the episode correct. I looked up the right episode.
I'm going to say Tom won.
No! Hunter won!
Oh, what the hell?
Hunter beat two guest hosts, which is outrageous enough. But the game he did it with was E.T. the Extraterrestrial for Atari 2600.
He truly is the juggernaut.
That is not a win for me. That is a win for E.T. for the Atari 2600.
Sim Ant and Gex 64 1277. That is insanity.
It's E.T., man.
E.T. won. But, I mean, normally when we have one guest host, the guest host always wins. I guess it's like listener sympathy or something. You beat two of them.
Yeah. I mean, did you hear my argument? It's a good argument.
Yeah. It was a compelling argument. You did. It was kind of like a, wow, that makes a lot of sense. It was a good argument, but still kind of surprising.
Right.
I think it's fair to say. Fair to say.
E.T.
But tonight's theme is no pants. So, none of us are wearing pants, and the games we've chosen all star protagonists that aren't wearing any pants. Or at least I trust that you two have chosen no pants protagonists.
See, the last time he said that, he kind of cheated.
What? No, yeah, I didn't.
He kind of did.
Yeah. No, I don't cheat. Yeah. When did I cheat?
I don't remember.
When?
What was last
year? I
didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't cheat.
All right. That's usually what cheaters say, that they didn't cheat.
That's a good cheater.
Stick to that lie, Bailey. You stick to that lie.
All right. It's not a lie, but whatever. I will let you be the judge this week. You can tell me if I'm still cheating. I'm pretty darn sure this character is not wearing pants. But
okay, because I'm a little unsure about mine as well, so we'll just discuss that later.
Oh, no, whoa. I'm sure. Mine is not wearing pants.
Just is he wearing shorts?
No.
Is that your cheat?
Nope. No. I'm not being that guy. I'm not being like, he's not wearing pants. He's wearing capris. He's wearing denim cutoffs. He's wearing swim trunks.
Daisy Dukes.
I didn't bring California Games this week. I didn't do that.
No.
Although I could have picked Metroid. She's not wearing
pants,
is she? See, I don't know. Is she?
Yeah, she's wearing pants.
Under there, maybe.
Yeah. I'm sure she's not. I mean, because you can see in Super Metroid when she explodes, she's just wearing like a...
like a one-piece jumpsuit kind of thing.
No. It's a little bit more skimpy than that.
Okay.
Two-piece jumpsuit?
It's actually a three-piece jumpsuit.
Wow.
I don't know what it is because it's something women wear, and I don't wear it, so I couldn't describe what it is or even be able to give it a name.
I
want to
hear you try. Please do.
No.
Go ahead.
No.
All right, Jason, if you have a minute on the clock, I'm ready.
I do. You can start.
For tonight's Retro Showdown, I went back to the mid-1990s for the most radical, extreme game I could find with a protagonist who wasn't wearing pants. This is a 1995 release on the Sega Genesis, a pseudo-classic, Vector Man. This is a scrolling run-and-gun platformer in which the player controls Vector Man, a futuristic robot out to save the world from all the other robots who are super evil now. This game has everything. Great graphics, level variety, bonus rounds, double jumping, and even a spread gun. It's classic 1990s 16-bit action. It plays kind of like Earthworm Jim, with a little more sci-fi flavor. It's Vector Man. No pants.
Nice. All right. Hunter.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You sound confident. All right. You may begin.
All righty. My pick for No Pants Week is a little NES gem called Fester's Quest, released on the NES in 1989. You play as Uncle Fester, beloved Adams family member, off to save the rest of the family from an alien invasion. Searching and finding the Adamses, you are rewarded with new weapons and items to aid you on your quest. In this run and gun, you will discover 5 alien bosses that need to be eliminated before saving the family. The game plays from an overhead perspective, and entering some of the houses lends to a first-person dungeon crawler as you fight your way through the alien hordes. Fester's Quest is a fun, albeit challenging, adventure game with some fun mechanics
15 seconds.
And an interesting puzzle-solving aspect. Fester's Quest. Fester's Quest.
Fester's.
Fester's.
Quest.
Yeah,
all right.
Up, Jason.
Yeah. Damn. All right. All right, I guess I'll begin. My choice this week is the 1992 NES classic, based on a Disney television series, which was based on a comic book series by DC. It's Darkwing Duck from the Nintendo Entertainment System, featuring this no-pants duck protagonist who proudly carries on the no-pants tradition of every animated duck character. You see Darkwing Duck travel through many environments. Based on a slightly tweaked Mega Man 5 engine, you have multiple bosses, multiple weapons, your cape can deflect enemy projectiles, and all in all, it's a great example of a quality Disney game produced by Capcom during the NES era. And that's Darkwing Duck for the NES.
So somebody got tired of losing.
What the duck? You mother ducker.
You're a mother ducker.
You're such a duckin'.
Is that kind of like Smurf and stuff? Like Smurf?
So, are we sure that Uncle Fester doesn't wear pants?
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he doesn't. I think he just wears the long black robe. Because even in the intro, like, you see that his feet and legs are bare. Because yeah. He's kind of got them up. I know in the movie he wears pants, but this is mainly based off the old TV show.
Yeah.
So...
Well, can we get a judge's call on this? Beardly, what do you think?
I'm going to say that he wears pants.
No, I'll allow it.
Damn it.
All right, thanks, Beardly. Appreciate it. Well, I guess we'll let it slide. Well,
thanks, Beardly.
So, Hunter.
Had a fourth host.
Refresh my memory here.
Sure.
Isn't Fester's Quest... that game where the projectiles you fire don't travel in a straight line?
That's one of the upgrades for the gun. It's the second upgrade. There's actually 4 upgrades. That's just one of them. Yes.
Also, in my opinion, the worst Sunsoft game on NES, just so you know.
It looks pretty awful.
It's actually a lot of fun.
Like getting your hand trapped in the car door fun, or
it's a great random example.
Yeah, that's
like doing plumbing work and then dropping the porcelain lid of your toilet onto your toes accidentally fun.
More like being based off of one of the worst Mega Man games for the NES kind of a fun.
Oh, more like getting your shoelace caught in the escalator floor fun?
More like ice skating with a bear kind of fun?
More like hand washing a cheese grater and scraping half the skin off your finger fun?
Wow. That's just... Yeah, so that's kind of...
Not very, too far.
You crossed the line.
Fine. Jason.
Yeah?
I'm actually going to talk about Hunter's game to you.
Okay. But so we're going to have a conversation about his game.
I'm going to tell you about Fester's Quest. In case you don't know, Fester's Quest is one of the most binary fan-percepted games out there. What I mean by that is nobody's on a middle ground about Fester's Quest. People either hate it or they have an irrational sentimentality for it. They love it.
With that said, it sounds like you're on the hate it side.
I do not enjoy Fester's Quest. I will say more, but I'll end my little rant to you, Jason, now by saying... If a Nintendo game earned an episode from the Angry Video Game Nerd, it might have some concerning issues.
Yeah.
Well, wait a second. Wait. That's not fair.
I don't understand the shooting. It's no skill. It's just walking forward as these things spin in front of you.
Are you talking about the enemies?
No, literally, your gun. Is that a gun?
Yes.
There's spinning bats or something coming out of it.
They're more like boomerangs?
They don't go straight, so they cover the entire floor space you're walking through. So you walk down a hallway, oh, everything in front of you is going to die. Unless, of course, you just walk forward without shooting.
Right.
Oh, but the great part, Jason, is the same hallways that are too easy with some types of guns are impossible with other projectiles because the projectile hits the wall and disappears.
Oh.
He is correct. Also, during most of these tiny corridors that you walk through, 90% of the time you can just avoid the enemy without having to shoot it.
So it's a stealth game?
Sure. Absolutely.
So this is the TV equivalent of the Metal Gear franchise.
I don't know what that means.
Metal Gear stealth game, guns.
The TV Metal version.
Gear? Well, it's based on a TV series. It's Addams Family.
Was that
Fester?
It's originally based off a comic strip.
This may not actually be relevant to the conversation we're having, but I feel the need to point it out. I'm the Nintendo legend, and you two picked NES games, and
I
picked a Sega game. I'm a little conflicted right now.
Right. As am I.
Yeah, I really got... Yeah, I got confused when you brought the Sega.
The worst thing about Vector Man is that it really didn't get its comeuppance like it should have. It is a great game.
It's a lot of fun. I like Vector Man.
Because, I mean...
It looks fun.
It was designed to be in direct competition for Donkey Kong Country. Like, it used kind of the same 3D modeling to 2D sprite and...
It looks great. If you play Vector Man and then Mischief Makers back to back, which, and I love Mischief Makers for Nintendo 64, just throwing that out, I love it. But if you made someone play them back to back and then ask them which one is the 64-bit game, it's not an easy call. Like, it still looks pretty good today. I played a new game last year, like a new PC game that looked similar to Vector Man. I was like, that's a Vector Man game right there.
I'm kind of curious about what that game is now.
I even mentioned it on the podcast.
Oh,
A Valley Without Wind.
Oh, that's right.
The first one. Second game looks completely different. It's a better game. First game's not bad, but play it. It's like, oh, it's a Vector Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, even with the robots and stuff.
I really like Vector Man. I actually found Vector Man 2 out in the wild yesterday.
Really?
Oh.
$78.
Wow.
For just the cartridge. I was like, I will pass. Thank you, sir.
No, wow. Dang. I had a chance at buying it when it was new and I didn't. And I'm thinking maybe I should have.
I have to ask.
No, you don't. You don't have to.
I do. No, I do.
See, I really like Darkwing Duck. That's the problem I'm sitting here with right now. So I got to think about that.
My biggest issue with Darkwing Duck is it does feel like it's just a rehash.
It's a Mega Man clone.
Yeah,
it really is.
I mean,
it's like Mega Man with a cape.
And it kind of reminds me of, I mean, Darkwing, or not Darkwing Duck, that's what we're talking about. It kind of reminds me of Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers for the NES. Like, they don't really it doesn't really bring a lot new to the table. Like, if you're a big Mega Man fan, then you should absolutely play Darkwing Duck. But if you're looking for, like, a new experience, there's not a whole lot of new to be there.
Yeah. Rescue Rangers was pretty different. Not a lot of games had the picking up stuff and throwing it.
Yeah.
I know you're thinking Super Mario Brothers 2. Like, I know you're thinking that, but even that was an outlier.
Yeah. I don't know.
But Jason was saying something. Jason was totally going to ask it. Yeah. What's
original.
Up?
I'm looking at the North American cover art here. And it says, play to win $25,000.
Yeah.
Now, this reminds me of our conversation last week. I believe Hunter brought it up, where the game actually had a coupon included on the cover, so mm-hmm. you could go and buy an actually good game, because they thought it was going to do so poorly.
Right.
Is this the same tactic with Vector Man? They're offering you the chance to win $25,000?
Nope. You did not save any money, and to win that prize, you had to post a high score. So they were actually so confident that Vector Man would be a top-tier game and have high-level competition that they put that contest out.
Ah.
It's the exact opposite phenomenon.
Well, then.
I'm glad you asked.
You shut me up.
Yeah.
That's actually not right.
I did.
Just so.
It's not right.
That's not correct at all. It had nothing to do with a high score.
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
Let me have this, Hunter. Let me have this.
I'm sorry. We're talking about Vector Man, so I need to correct you. I'm sorry. So the contest was played throughout.
You're not going to let me sneak that by?
No,
really?
I'm not. Select cartridges had an extra screen at the very end of the game. If you completed the game without any cheat codes, a screen would pop up that said you win with a special code and a phone number to call. To see how much you have actually won. It was only a small percentage of the cartridges that had this extra ending. Didn't have anything to do with the high score.
It was like buying a lottery ticket, okay?
But you got to play a really cool game.
Did it help sell one or two copies? Maybe. You didn't save any money.
No.
You just...
Well, I guess if you think of it in the long run, all of our games that we brought tonight kind of had that same mentality. I mean, my game was based off a popular TV show. So was Jason's. I mean, they were all ways of trying to sell more copies for whatever franchise it was tied to. I mean, would Fester's Quest be any better of a game than it is without the Addams Family tie-in?
No.
I think it'd be about the same. It's going to play the same, just you wouldn't recognize the characters. And realistically, the characters don't play a lot into the game. Then, you know, but the core mechanics were neat because it was like that top-down running gun, and then you had the kind of Faceball 2000 dungeon crawler aspect when you walked into the houses and stuff. It was really neat.
Have either of you played Gremlins 2 on NES?
No.
Yeah.
Sunsoft made it, and it plays like they realized how bad Fester's Quest was for an overhead game and improved it drastically. That's what gets me about Fester's Quest. You look at the Sunsoft library on NES, they made Batman. They made Blaster Master. Even Freedom Force is a really solid light gun game. They made Gremlins 2, and then there's Fester's Quest, just kind of sitting over there in the corner, eating glue. The dunce cap on. Not a pretty sight.
This is going to sound bad. Should I buy Vector Man right now?
How much are you finding it for?
It's on Steam for $1.49.
Yes!
Buy it!
Yes.
But
here's the thing.
No, there is no
thing. Buy that. No. It gets better. I can buy that for $1.49, or I can buy 40 Sega Classic games for $14.98.
Well, it depends on what 40 games they are.
Alex Kidd, Alien Soldier, Alien Storm, Altered Beast, Bonanza Bros, Biohazard, Columns, Comic Zone, Crackdown, The Echo Dolphins, Golden Axes, Gunstars, Kid Chameleons, Rystar, Shining Force, Shinobi.
That's worth it.
Streets of Rage, Virtua Fighter 2.
You should get both.
Damn.
No, it really is worth it, like, just for Ristar and Golden Axe.
And I would also recommend a Sega Genesis to USB controller.
Yeah. I'll just use my 361.
And Gain Ground, which is on the Xbox 360 Sega Collection, but does not appear to be in the collection you just named.
Damn.
Good old Sega game.
Good old Sega game.
You said Comic Zone was in there too, right?
Yeah.
Dude, he said Streets of Rage. It's a buy. Like, I don't know why we're still discussing this.
Streets of Rage 1 and 2.
It's not a debate, but not 3? As long as you got 1 and 2, you're good.
Well, Super Thunderblade?
Well, Jason, if it's any consolation, I just bought Vector Man 2 for $4.
Nice.
It's on its way to my home as we speak.
Nice.
That is much better than 70-something.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little ridiculous. The guy was like, this game's rare. And I'm like, I don't think so, man.
No, not really. It's a pretty major release.
I mean, I'll admit, I probably shop easily 12 different retro gaming shops a month. You know, I'll rotate every couple of weeks a different shop.
That's a good idea.
And I've never seen it out in the wild except for this one shop yesterday up in a store that was 3 hours away from me. I just happened to walk in.
Who's going to buy it for that amount, though? I mean, even if you really want it, if you really want it that bad, you would have looked online first, wouldn't you?
I think it was more of like an impulse buy because it was like right there in the counter.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, Vector Man 2, how much is that? And he's like, $74.99. And I'm like,
nope.
No, thank you.
If you would just make it like 40, he might still get an impulse buyer. But once you get above 50 for a retro cartridge, it's like, unless this is a known collector's item, I'm going to frown upon this.
Yeah.
Not a chance, then.
Yeah.
But Fester's Quest does have its fans. Some people do like it.
That's weird.
I enjoy Fester's Quest. It takes two gaming aspects that I really enjoy. The top-down running gun, and I really enjoy the dungeon crawling first-person aspect. Like, it's...
You like that in Fester's Quest?
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Okay.
I liked that the gun is a little different. It's not like a Contra-style gun. It takes a little bit more strategy to figure it out. And if you don't like it, I mean, you can just hang out in the sewer for 2 minutes and just upgrade your gun high enough so it, you get the one that's more of like a tornado shot than a...
Because that's what I want to do. I want to hang out in a sewer.
If you suck at the game, yeah. Well, hey, if it's...
I think if you suck at life, you're hanging out in the sewer.
Well, I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You want to play that? Is that what you want to do? Yeah, it's too late. Too late.
There we go. Wow.
Bailey doesn't like the Ninja Turtles.
That's not what I said.
That's offensive.
Don't want to hang out in a sewer.
But from this conversation, I can see why you don't like Jurassic Park on the NES. Because that's an overhead shooter, but it doesn't have first person, and it does have very traditional guns.
Yes. Well, and it's slow. It's a slow game.
It's also an Easter egg hunt. I think that's the biggest problem with it.
Well,
every level is find the eggs. That's odd. I think the engine was great. It could have been good.
Well, hell, if you want to talk about great engines, I mean, Bill and Ted's Excellent Video Game Adventure. You want to talk about a kid-friendly
a
RPG
tragedy.
Engine? That's a great engine.
Man, no, I agree. That was weird design choices with that game.
I mean, your major weapon is a cupcake. How cool is that? I mean, come on. That's almost as cool as jelly beans, because that's still going on if you guys want to vote for a boy in this blob.
Nice try.
Because I'm going to vote for Vector Man, so it's...
I might vote for Darkwing Duck.
No,
I'm voting for Vector Man. I'm voting for Vector Man!
I will say, out of the three games, I think Vector Man's brought the most to the table. I mean, I enjoy my game. I enjoy Darkwing Duck. But, I mean, Vector Man was such a... I don't know. I'm real big on new experiences. You know, because there's so many games, especially in the NES library and the Genesis library, where there's so many games that feel the same. It's one of the reasons why I don't like shoot 'em ups that much. All of those games are exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Good call.
Except for, like, Guardian Legend or something like that.
Yeah, it's like a hybrid genre just to try and be different.
Or there's a Genesis one. It's like Legendary Sword or something, where you're on the back of a flying horse, which was really neat, and you're attacking mythical gods. That was a fun shooter.
But no, I'm proud of us tonight. This is an interesting little showdown. Not a whole lot of rehashes tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Can't complain about that. Except for Jason's game, the Mega Man clone ripoff.
Okay, so that...
You don't even like Mega Man, Jason. Don't even like Mega Man. Yeah. And you picked Darkwing Duck.
I like Darkwing Duck.
Well, that's... It's Mega Man. The video game experience is Mega Man.
I've never played this game.
You...
I haven't played 90% of the games I play.
This is why you don't win the showdown, Jason. So you don't know what you're talking about.
Listen, I can only bring so many first-person shooters from the mid-90s. It would get stale.
Okay, when did Darkwing Duck come out?
91.
What?
No, 92.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
What's your problem, Hunter? Why the face?
Why the face? Why do you seem sad? Yeah, 1992.
Mega Man 5 came out in 93 in North America. December 4th, 1992 in Japan.
Oh, he got Jason lying.
No, nope. Book of Knowledge.
Yeah, that's what the Book of Knowledge says.
Ooh, maybe
well,
the...
I guess they
no,
on the
December
engine,
4th,
they,
yeah.
The so, development was rushed. They got the engine. They were like, oh, we have the engine. And they're like, let's just shove this game out the door before they even get Mega Man 5 out.
Yeah.
That could be the only reason.
So Mega Man 5 is a ripoff of this.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far.
So, but how different is the engine really from Mega Man 5 to 4? There's no way it's significantly different. No way.
There's no in terms of the time constraint, there Because it's like they just got the license for Darkwing Duck, and Mega Man 5 is what they were working on, and they were like, oh, we'll just use the same engine.
Yeah. Some other guy was like...
They used the engine out of necessity, not because they thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, Jason.
Whoa. Whoa.
Jason.
Derek's.
So they wouldn't have known that Mega Man 5 was going to be probably the worst 8-bit Mega Man.
Yeah, but this was better than that.
All right, that's ridiculous, man. Come on, let's be real.
Was.
About
gotta
that
be realistic.
Let's be for reals.
That's weird.
Let's be authentic.
I kind of want somebody from Capcom back in the day to tell me how that went down, because that's super interesting. Ooh. Like that's the only thing I can think of. Like it had to be a rush job because Disney wanted it out, and it was the only I'm sure they were working on other games at the time, but is it just a palette swap? I mean, I'll admit, I haven't played Darkwing Duck in a while.
It's gotta be. No, because, I mean, the cape mechanic, there's just...
Yeah.
There's...
They must have developed them simultaneously. Maybe prototype the engine, and then... That, or they built it on the Mega Man 4 engine, and the 5 engine was such a minuscule change, they could literally just port everything right over.
That's what I'm thinking. That's literally where I'm going.
Yeah, there wasn't
this.
A lot of changes between 4 and 5. 6 is when they turned it.
Yeah. I'm imagining the team was working on it with the engine for 4. They had a nearly finished product. Some big wig dude at Capcom shoved it down the pipeline and said, hey, we're going to make you use the 5 engine. Darkwing Duck team is pissed. They're like, what? Mm-hmm. Why do we have to do this? They look over and they're like, well, actually, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Let's just tweak it here, there, and there. It should work. Put it out. There it goes. Kablooey kablam.
Yeah.
But I do want that interview. That's a good idea. Yeah. We should beat Darkwing Duck, read the credits, hit up all the names till we find something. Jason's never played this game.
Nope.
This game.
Sure, it's great.
I've played all of the games brought tonight.
So have I.
But Jason, have you played any of these games, Jason?
No.
Never played Vector Man.
I'll tell you a game that he has played that we brought to the showdown, and that was Hogbear.
I did. I played that live on air.
Yes, you did.
That was actually pretty good. I'll give you that.
It's a fun game.
Hogbear. Yeah.
Cool.
Not to be taken lightly.
So why are you on this show, Jason?
Canadianness. You know what?
Canadianity.
If you want, I will bring in a mod next week.
We would just like you to know. Okay, just bring in a game that you've played.
Are you literally saying that for the past 20 years, 99.9% of the games you've played have been first-person shooter mods?
No, I'd say maybe.
Okay.
A chunk.
I mean, I don't mean to give you too much crap. I just, it's just, I just.
I know.
But
how can It's tough to passionately defend your own pick if you've never played it. You could have at least like tried it out, like bootleg illegal style beforehand. That would have been something.
Yeah.
I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying.
I played Fester's Quest for like 2 hours today.
Damn.
Yeah. I like it. Damn. It's a fun game. Oh. Kind of wish I would have played Vector Man, though, because I kind of want
to pickles.
Play Vector Man now. And Strider. I want to play Strider, too.
Strider.
Oh, I need to make a list.
Strider. My backlog's looking pretty bad.
Yeah.
Oh, remember when I started playing Wind Waker again?
Yeah.
I haven't been that either.
Nice.
I'm at Wind Waker, Final Fantasy VII, SimCity 4. These are not like light little games I'm trying to get through right now.
I tell you
what, not good.
I'm kind of in the same boat, and it's getting even more difficult with my blog because it's like some of these indie games are so big, I just don't want to play them for 20 minutes to think I got the feel of the game. So like I've been playing Torchlight for like 2 weeks now, and I still feel like I've only scratched the surface. But I've been playing like little free browser games in between, and that breaks it up pretty well. Like I played I just reviewed Outbreak, which is a kind of like a choose your own adventure, survival, zombie, horror, FMV kind of a game. It takes you 10 minutes to play, but it's really neat, so it really breaks the monotony. Recommended.
Good strategy.
Recommended.
Yeah, NES games have become my monotony breakup.
Yeah, like Legend of Zelda. And
for what that's worth.
Dragon Quest. Well,
Load Runner. NES might have the worst Load Runner adaptation out there.
I heard. I read a review somewhere. I think it was TendoLegend.com?
Yeah. They have a lot of NES reviews there. That guy did not enjoy Load Runner very much.
I am happy to say that I submitted an NES game that was not on his master list.
Oh.
This was a couple of weeks ago. Phantom Fighters, I think it was, or something silly like that.
Oh, yeah! I don't know what. Yeah.
So, let me explain how this worked out, because I just cracked up laughing. So, I'm at one of my shops, and I see it. It's 99 cents. I was like, oh, it's kind of like a Kung Fu. I might like this. It was clean. It worked. So, I grabbed it. I bought it. I brought it home, and I pop it in, and I'm playing it. I was like, this game is effing awful. Like, the controls are awful, and the storyline doesn't make any sense. And it keeps going back and forth between like this really close up 2D one-on-one fighter. Then all of a sudden it's like a Karate Kid adventure fighter kind of a game. And I was like, this game's just crap. Like, this is just really bad. I wonder what Bailey thought of it. So I went on your website and I'm like, well, it's not here. I was like, okay, maybe I'm spelling it wrong.
He doesn't even acknowledge its existence.
Yeah, like I'm control F'ing to search and everything. And I'm like, it's not on here. That's not right.
Yeah. And I know it exists. I don't know why it didn't get on the list.
Still waiting for that review, by the way. If I have to play it, you have to play it. Bailey, that's
fair
how
enough.
This works.
Keep bugging me. Keep reminding me. I'll be happy to trash it. Maybe I'll do it for Review a Bad Game Day coming up on August 8th.
I had a question about that. I don't know if this is the forum to do it, because I think we're still doing a podcast. I'm not sure. Sounds like we're bullshitting now. But anyway. can we review a game that's already been reviewed? From 2 years ago? Okay.
Yeah, one of the big... I should write an article on One More Castle, get some of the guidelines out there. There's no exclusivity whatsoever. Like, if you're like, I call this game, there's none of that. You pick a game you think is bad. It's all about celebrating your catharsis and trashing it. So yeah, absolutely. If someone else has already done it, it's still up for grabs.
Okay.
Absolutely. If it was done last year, you can still do it this year.
Okay.
Cool. There's no exclusivity for Review a Bad Game Day. And to any listeners who are interested in participating, all you do is pick a game you think is bad, write or record a review of it, and start picking your games and forming your reviews now, because when the website updates, reviewabadgameday.com, you'll be able to submit your review, and they all go live on August 8th, and they'll have a lot of fun. So, that's the gist. Final arguments! Jason! Why should someone vote for Darkwing Duck?
You should vote for Darkwing Duck because it features a anthropomorphic duck who fights crime at night.
Without his pants. Hunter! Why should anyone vote for the Festering Quest?
You shouldn't. You should vote for Vector Man. It's as simple as that. I'm sorry. I mean, I like my game, but I love Vector Man. So.
Sorry, I didn't mean to touch your Sega loving heart. I just I didn't realize you two would bring NES games.
I need to go back to my Genesis, because I haven't brought a Genesis game in a long time.
Isn't it funny? Like, you try, you feel like you're doing it too much, so you try to get away from it, and then you start realizing why you stick to what you know.
Because it's good.
Yeah. So you should vote for Vector Man, because it legitimately is very fun. I think the worst thing about it is it's a little repetitive. The music's not phenomenal. It's okay. But otherwise, it's a great experience. Go play it. That's the Retro Showdown, everyone.
Woo!
Whoop! I want to give a shout out tonight. Let's see, for my Twitter shout out, Risky Gambit. His name is Alex. He's a former One More Castle writer who has hinted that he might return.
Ooh. So
I'm hoping that little mention will pressure him into it, because I'd like to see him back. He always did good work. Risky Gambit on Twitter. As for myself, you can find me at Nintendo_Legend on Twitter. The website, as mentioned, is NintendoLegend.com, where I blog about reviewing NES games. Jason, shoutouts for others and self.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'm going to give a shout out to Norman Caruso, the gaming historian, because next weekend he is going to be in my city at a convention, which I have a media pass, so I'm going to go have a beer with him.
I thought you were going to say he was going to be in my pants.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that too, maybe.
This will also be my first convention, so that'll be interesting.
Well, have fun with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a One More Castle media pass. That's really cool. That's really cool. Hunter?
Yep.
My Twitter shout-out this week is going to go to Mr. Joshua Caleb.
Good call.
Let's find out what his...
Joshua Caleb 75.
Is that what it is? Okay, 75. Yeah,
I'm pretty confident.
He is now engrossed in the most beloved man-made object ever made, which is the Sega Dreamcast. We did a little swap skis, so he's more than happy to have it. I'm happy he's having fun playing it. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My blog is ericmhunter.net, where you can find all my ramblings, my indie game review blog, my writings on official VGHC, link to the podcast too.
Cool. Well, great episode, guys. It's always good when we spend more time off topic than on. So kudos to us all there.
Kudos to us all.
Thanks to anyone who tuned into the live stream. Thanks for watching. To anyone who downloaded, listening to it, share us with your friends, retweet us, tell us about it. We're on Facebook at One More Castle as well. And listeners, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!